Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the September 15th, 2022 book launch program with Behind Our Eyes and author Cheryl McNeil Fisher.
Welcome, everyone, to this Behind Our Eyes book launch presentation featuring multi-talented children's author Cheryl McNeil Fisher. Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, everybody. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks, Marlene. Hi.
Let's start with a little bit about you and how you got interested in writing.
I've been writing ever since I could use a crayon. I've always loved to write. I was always one of those people when I had vision, I had a huge box of cards. I love stationery. Put me in a stationery card. I love embossed stationery and pens. And so I've always liked to write. I was encouraged to write a book, my first book, by Marion Levy. She was one of our donors at Guiding Eyes for the Blind. I wrote to her every day when I was working with a new guide dog, and she encouraged me to write a book. It took me a couple of years putting the book together, getting an illustrator, and sending it out to many publishing companies. Although it was not for them, I did get 6 handwritten notes on those form letters saying, this isn't what we want right now, but this is what maybe you can do to publish your book, how you can do it. And I even had someone recommend some of the edit. 8 years ago, self-publishing, it was still breaking ground. By listening also to the Writer magazine, I have looked and looked for years. I cannot find the issue in the Writer magazine when they talked about Bowker and how to start my own publishing company. And that's what I did. I'm the first author in New York State to get a grant through the Commission for the Blind. Thank you, God, for that. That helped me to be put me in the black and publish several books. And now what it does for me, I have so much fun. This is one of my favorite books. It's been sitting around for a while and I'm finally getting it done. The goal was to have a big book launch in Philadelphia in costume, you know, and then COVID happened, things happened. So here I am with all of you, and this is pretty amazing. So I am just thrilled to be with all of you and laugh. This is one of my favorite Cindy and Sammy books, and I hope that all of you will enjoy it too. Thanks.
Before we get into your Sammy book, could we hear a little bit about some of your other talents besides writing?
I laugh really well. I tell a good story. I don't want to talk about all that stuff.
Okay. All right. Then let's move on. But you do have some features of your website that might be interesting to young people. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I have free coloring pages for each one of my books. I love working with kids. I have a book that I wrote with a 7th grader who helped illustrate the book. She came up to me, said she wanted to be an illustrator and write a book. And I said, well, contact me. We were at Stewart Airport at a career day and I gave her my card and she followed up. And I thought, well, this young girl is following up and I, no matter what, I'm going to do something with her. And that's where Surprise Sammy, It's Your Birthday was born. I love being able to do workshops and teach kids about writing books. I have some blank books that help explain how to do that and work with them. And my books are in audio. My books are in now. All of my books are in large print on Amazon and through Draft2 Digital, which has Overdrive and Barnes & Noble, Apple, etc. As far as print, though, it would be through Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And I have my books on Audible, some of them. So my goal has been when I first started, 8 years ago, when I first started doing this, I was struggling to figure out how can I make my books available to children in Braille? Because my books range from first grade right on up. This is a higher grade, this book in particular. Now, even the lending libraries are lending out the Braille displays. So that has taken a burden off of me. And I have also given my permissions to Perkins School. There's a school over in England that has permissions to Braille my books out for students.
That is wonderful. So let's get into your series and then head toward Philadelphia for your history mystery.
Okay. it started with Cindy Lou and Sammy Too, Go to the Mall, The Adventure of a Guide Dog Team, because I was told you needed to have something kind of rhymey. And my golden retriever was the inspiration for, well, actually the inspiration for this book was a book dog that I had only for 2 months who didn't make it. He had quite some antics. Then Sammy came from my illustrator. Her dog's name was Sammy and my sister's name is Cindy. So now I've updated the book and it's Cindy and Sammy Training at the Mall, The Adventures of a Guide Dog Team. The second book, also from my trip to Philadelphia from the Philadelphia Zoo. The first one was Cindy Lou and Sammy Too, Meet New Friends at the Zoo, The Adventures of a Guide Dog Team. And now it is Cindy and Sammy Meet New Friends at the Zoo, The Adventures of a Guide Dog Team. Different illustrator. Now all of my books have been illustrated by the same illustrator who lives in Spain. And surprise, Sammy, it's your birthday. Was my third that I did with Angel, the seventh grader. And then I also had Anastasia in Spain illustrate that book. And then I'll just touch on my sister Shenanigans series, which is based on stories by my sister that my sister and I did growing up. So they're little antics that I elaborate on. Bolter and Lightning and Nabbed is about a old golden retriever dog and an old horse, and they become superheroes and save Lily the Pekingese. And then I wrote a memoir for someone that was really, really special. And I'm very proud of that also. I just done some re-edits, put it in large print. And I had a lot of help from the historical societies and different, whether it's in the local towns in Westchester County, New York. It takes place in Westchester County and in Orange County, New York, and New York City. So that's from we start with our ancestors 1800 coming over from Germany and then go through when she was born 1920s, but World War I, World War II, that was an honor too. And it helped my writing. So many of us struggle about writing a memoir. How do I write about myself? Write about somebody else. And you learn so much from doing, I did anyway.
That's very interesting because a lot of our writers in our writers group are memoir writers. Would you be willing to perhaps share a little bit of history mystery with us?
Sure. You know what's so great about this? I picked dialogue, everyone, because if any of you saw my posting on Facebook today, I said, well, I'm going to pick some dialogue because I can mess up and you won't know. And the great thing is when you read the book, you'll be so into the book, you're going to forget if I said everything the way it says in the book. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background. Cindy, Sammy, her friend Kelly are with Mulligan, the carriage driver, and his horse is Broden. Broden, at one point, there's a time when he doesn't obey his carriage driver because the street is too narrow. There's a car in the way and they have to wait for the car. That's how I bring it together between Sammy doing intelligent disobedience. And so now Benjamin Franklin has joined them. He went to Sammy the night before and said, I need you to help me find a document of national importance. And so now we're on to chapter 6, which is the Liberty Bell. And when they drive up to the Liberty Bell in the carriage, the Liberty Bell has floor-to-ceiling windows. And when they drive up, they see this ghostly figure flying around. And he's writing on everything, writing on the Liberty Bell and writing on the walls. And Benjamin Franklin says, and they're all gasping like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? And that is John Hancock. Kelly says, hurry, we need to get in there and stop him and preserve our national symbol. They stop at the curb. And unfortunately, they have to wait in line just like everybody else. And when they finally are able to get through the line, they are walk into the room that displays the Liberty Bell, and they hear Mr. Franklin say, John, what are you doing? Hey, Benny, isn't it great? I am practicing my signature. I love writing my name. Doesn't it look handsome? Then Cindy and Kelly come in and say, no, you can't do that. You're ruining something that's so important to the... But then Mr. Hancock says, no, no, no. You know what I'm doing, Benny? You invented it. It's invisible ink. Look. As they watched and looked around the walls and the Liberty Bell, they started to see it fade and disappear. And then he says, besides anyway, even the people, they couldn't see it. Only you could see it because I'm actually writing with ghostly ink. And he does ha ha ha, does a big roar. But watch what I can do. And he goes over next to a man and he starts writing on the man's arm. And the man swats at his arm and says, what is that? Something's crawling on me. And he's laughing and roaring. And Cindy and Kelly are gasping and have their mouths wide open. And he floats over next to a boy and he starts to write his name on the boy's forehead. And the boy says, what are you doing? Why are you writing on my forehead? Oh, you can see me? Of course I can see you. Why did you do that? Oh, my apologies, lad. And he bows to him and says, I didn't know that you could see me. And he says, well, it's not very nice that you're doing this, whether I can see you or not. If I wrote on the walls or I wrote on anything at home, I would get in trouble. Mr. Hancock bows to him and says, my apologies, lad. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. He goes, I will put my pen away for now. Cameron turns his head and says, hey, aren't you Benjamin Franklin? Benjamin Franklin turns and smiles, at your service, lad, and bows to him. He says, what are all of you guys doing here together? He looked at Cindy. Cindy tells him that we are looking for Thomas Jefferson's writing desk. Cameron looks, scratches his head. A desk? Isn't that kind of heavy for one person to be carrying? And they explain, no, Thomas Jefferson created a special desk when he was writing the Declaration of Independence, and it's called the Portable Writing Desk. And we may know it as a lap desk today. John Hancock looks over. Benny, you looking for Thomas? I saw him a little while ago. He was over by Carpenter's Hall. He's going over to have tea with Betsy. Clarified that he was going over to Betsy Ross's house. No, that's okay. I can stop right there. That's enough.
That is going to be such an intriguing book to read. There's going to be so much information in there. And the way you've made it so lively, it's just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Would you like to mention Writing Works Wonders podcast, which you co-host?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm so excited and really proud that we received the Vernon C. Henley Media Award this year from ACB Publications Committee. What an honor. And we are so pleased and happy. And a lot of it has to do with all of you on this call. And we always mention Behind Our Eyes, and we're so happy that we can all work together and learn together, you know, how it started and then hung in there with me. And then Kathy came along and we paired off and we worked so well together. The dynamic duo, what a gift, and our podcast and the authors we have on. And it's been an amazing, and it's just the beginning. We have written our first book, Writing Works Wonders, Creative Writing
Journal.
And our next one is Web Design for Authors. We are calling it the Visionary Series. If we do it with our eyes closed, the majority of that is Kathy. And I went through and did edit. Kathy's our master of the universe, master of our website. And then we have the Round Robin will be our third one. And if you go on Google and you search Round Robin or writing Round Robin or whatever, we come up on the first page. ACB Media does too, because that's where our podcast is on AC Media as well. So that's pretty neat.
That's wonderful. I have one more question, but before I get to it, I'm going to ask Kathy King, would you like to say something?
We're all really proud. Everybody here is really proud of the work Cheryl's done with the podcast, but especially with her books. The podcast has grown out of her experience as an author, and also mine and other people on this call give generously of their experience to others through it. And it's because of our work as authors, we're able to do that. I think part of the reason I love working with Cheryl is because she has a very giving heart, and the focus of what she does is about helping to uplift other people. And I think you can hear that in her books and in her approach in working with people. So congratulations, Cheryl. This is a big day.
Thank you.
Okay, Cheryl, here it comes now. Where do your ideas come from?
My head. No. Oh, okay. I'll tell you, you know, I really get it. I get it when people say the characters take on a life of their own. It's so amazing. When you're reading this book, it's amazing the character, what the characters say. I told you about the first book. The second book, the Philadelphia Zoo. And what was so great was it was in September, so there wasn't crowds. So my dog really was able to engage. The security just said, if any of the animals have a reaction, would you, you know, please just walk away or call us if we have any challenges or difficulty. But we didn't. In that book, you'll even hear about Zanka jumped right up on the fence, two front paws on the fence, looked over. And that's not something my, you know, our guide dogs aren't supposed to do that. But he just like, whoa, look at that monkey down there. And it just gave me such creativity, the way that all of them interacted together. So I love talking through animals. Nabbed, Bolter, Lightning, and Nabbed. That's their hero voices. And the cover will show a little Pekingese cowering on the bottom because she gets kidnapped and the horse becomes a Pegasus, a white flying horse. And the golden retriever is standing on his back with a blue cape with a lightning bolt. And that's because a friend of mine came over, my friend Maureen, with her grandchildren. And I was watching a Pekingese at the time for a friend who worked in Canada 4 days a week. So Lily, the Pekingese, stayed with me. Maureen and the kids went outside, said, can we take Lily? Sure. Not thinking Lily was going to scurry those little feet right underneath the fence because it was high enough for her to scoot right under. And, you know, the kids went and got her and stuff, but boom, a story was born and she was getting dog nabbed and was going to be rescued by the other animals. My sister books, Apple Batter Up, is based on a story about my sister and I. It was a, you know, one of those things that everybody laughs at the holidays. And my sister and I say, what were we thinking? We would have killed our kids if we came home to that. We took a bushel of apples, my twirling baton, and we played whack the apple in the house with a bushel of apples, and they were all over. In the book, it's done in the kitchen. We did it in our living room. So I'm alive to tell you about it. And that's all I'll say about that. I do have a disclaimer telling kids, do not do this in your house. And the second one is Hoot and Holiday that'll be coming out. And that's based on the time Cindy and I got new skis for Christmas. And we were just, I think I figured 8 and 6. And we were on our way up the hill and I saw a little mouse. That ended our ski trip for the day. We went running down the hill. But through all that, I took a lot of our holiday different experiences and put them in a book. And my sister gave me some other ideas for some new ones too. So in the history mystery, I really look forward to doing something more. My next book hopefully will be along the Hudson River here in New York.
That sounds wonderful. Can you tell us what your website is and your Writing Works Wonders website?
You can reach me through writingworkswonders.com. My wonderful co-host Kathy, she is the master of the website, has created a page that has information there, and CherylMcNeilFisher.com.
That is wonderful, and we are at the halfway point, so I'm going to turn it back to Annie for the Q&A.
All right, this is Annie. Carol Mackey, you are first.
I knew it.
You knew. I jumped right in, right? This is so exciting, and I honestly can't wait to read your books, but I had two questions, as always. Are they available in audio as yet? And when do you hopefully have that happening if it hasn't? That's my first question.
The answer is the mall, the zoo, Nabbed, and the birthday book is not up yet, but I will be putting that up. I've all been done in audio. The history mystery will take a while to get that done. And my sister books.
I look forward to it. My other question also, I do have grandchildren. What is the age range for readers of your books? And how did you come to that? Or did it just happen and this happens to be the age range? Or were you kind of thinking about that at all during your writing?
It depends on the comprehension and how well the child reads. Because Lisa G's grandson whipped through these books in a matter of just couple days the books that he had. I think I gave him 5. And so it can go from 6, 7 right on up. And History Mystery is great for 4th and 5th graders when they're learning, but at any age, because as my wonderful reviewer, Marlene, said, adults are going to enjoy these too. I hope you will.
I will. I'm looking forward to it. So thank you. And this has been delightful. Thanks so much, Cheryl, for showing up and doing this.
Thank you.
All right. We have Lisa G and then Deborah.
Hi. Congratulations. This is wonderful. My grandson, he's 7.5, and I couldn't believe how well he reads. It was amazing, his inflection. I was like, wow, did Cheryl coach you on this? It was great. But I was so interested in the stories myself. And telling about Batter Up and the guide dog at the mall. And he had seen, you know, he'd been with me and my guide dog to see us. And it was just so wonderful that, you know, he got to learn more and more detail. And it was just wonderful. I enjoy the books as much as he enjoyed the books. And thank you so much. It's just so wonderful. I would like to know, with History Mystery in Philadelphia, what made you choose the characters that you choose, like Betsy Ross, Ben Franklin, John Hancock? How did you come up with those?
Well, we took a carriage ride through Philadelphia. My route goes according to a walking route. They have either their guided tours or you can do a self-guided tour. It's a walking route that'll take you through these different historical sites. And so that's how I went from house to house to house or site, and coming around even Alfred's Alley. I didn't know about that. Still populated residential street in America. It's very narrow. And then Christ Church, going through there where Benjamin Franklin is buried. We went around the corner and then his daughter and his grandson are buried there and they jump out and say hello. And I chose Benjamin Franklin because I found out about the writing death. It just all came into play, because especially as I'm with the carriage going through there, hearing all the things that Benjamin Franklin started or invented, and the fire brigade, the fire insurance, and we even have a fire brigade that goes right through the carriage as they're going down the street. That's where my first character came from, and God put it in my head, really. And I want to say there's an image in the book of young John Quincy that the Madison Museum, which is not in Philadelphia, gave that to me and permission to print it. A lot of the historical sites have given me permissions to either print their imagery, or I have had illustrations based on those images. And when they go to the old tavern, they meet up with George Washington and Martha and Dolly and James Madison and John Adams, John Quincy. It just evolved.
Great. Next, we have Deborah.
Oh, yay. Hi. Thanks. Well, so first of all, my first question is very boring and pragmatic, and that is, have you looked into having these books produced in print braille formats, like the books that National Braille Press does now, but others did before them, where braille pages are inserted into the print copy so that blind parents and grandparents can read them to their children and grandchildren, and blind children and sighted children can read them together?
Someone has ideas, let me know, but the cost, I couldn't afford to print that many books. And so I gave permissions to the schools to print them. And then if someone in particular, there's a young girl who has actually pretended to read my books. I have pictures of her, but I asked if we could get a book to her in particular, but I've given permissions free for them to print them. Whatever agency, if you have someone in mind, please let me know, because I'm not looking to make anything from anyone. They can do Braille is great.
Well, but you could. I mean, and I'm at a slight disadvantage because I haven't read them yet. So maybe they're too high a level. But what National Braille Press does, it would be a sponsorship issue. National Braille Press finds people to sponsor books, and then they take 1,000 copies. I'm making those numbers up. It's probably not that many, but 1,000 copies of, you know, Dr. Seuss's ABC supplied by Random House. Well, somebody else pays for those books, and then they do the brailing and the rebinding so that the book looks, so that a child who gets that book, it looks You know, it used to be so mm-hmm. thrilling for me to go into schools and read stories to children and have children see my book and say, I've got that book, because it mm-hmm. looks the same. And that's the problem with giving permissions, is then they're just spitting out hard copy Braille, which looks like nothing. It's not as pretty for the blank as to have. So if you want to pursue that, you know, we could get in touch later and I can maybe help you navigate National Braille Press. Because I think that would be really cool.
And I because do have people that will sponsor. I know there's people that will do that.
Okay.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are so few books that talk about blindness, talk about guide dogs. They did a book, I think it's called Six Dots, which is a lovely, lovely, lovely children's book about Louis Braille. There's other books about Louis Braille, but this one's actually good. But there just aren't many choices. So anyway, yeah, I would be happy to be a part of it. I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
In the beginning, you mentioned writing a memoir, and I didn't follow that. Who is that book about?
It's about a lady I met in a nursing home. We started talking because her husband had been involved with the first automated bowling pin setter. And we got talking about her history and different things. And that's how that came about. Somebody had written one page for her at the nursing home. And so I looked at that and I said, well, would you like me to help you with some? And before you knew it, we were doing an entire book looking up ancestry. And it was just a very interesting learning about, you know, Macy's Day Parade and her, because she was at the first Macy's Day Parade and just a little girl. And, you know, those kinds of historical things that were interesting for me too. It's up on Amazon right now, and it's also in Draft 2 Digital, which is also in Barnes & Noble and Apple, etc.
So tell us the title so we can go look for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Time Capsule. And what I did was every chapter is a time capsule. Thank you. Time Capsule. I have a picture of the Grand Central clock on the front. It's just the Tiffany, the head of the top of the clock, because she and her husband met and said goodbye underneath the Grand Central clock just before he was shipped out to the South Pacific during World War II.
Very nice.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
Okay. Abby wanted to ask a question.
Well, actually, you just answered it. Deborah, you and I, great minds think alike. I was wondering about that memoir, and so I'll definitely go look for that.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. I'm going to go find that memoir.
Alice had her hand raised.
And I do have a question.
Okay.
I was wondering, since you mentioned the museums and working with some museums to secure some permission for photos and drawings and such, have you also talked with those museums about selling your book in the museum gift shop? I love to go to museum gift shops, and I thought the history mystery in Philadelphia would just be a delightful purchase at a gift shop for children.
Well, I'm hoping that's going to be part of it, because they all requested copies of the book.
Wonderful.
So, yeah. And then once they read them, I'm hoping we can work on a contract or each area has a gift shop, so it'd be fun to have one in each place. To be continued, but thank you.
We have one more hand raised, Peter, and I think that will be the last question before we go to closing out.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you for all the work you do. Writing Works Wonders, and I'm really curious to know about your thoughts about children and literacy. So the stereotypical view of kids is that they don't read anymore and they don't write anymore. And I'm sure you've heard this all. Do you have any thoughts as how kids' tastes or the way they read changed over the past, say, 30 or 40 or 25 years? How's that influenced the way you write?
First, the history mystery, when I was writing this, I was thinking of myself as a child. I struggled with history and I wanted it to be entertaining so that the children who read this book are going to remember having word association with some of those items. Maybe there's a conversation will strike. How are they going to remember Liberty Bell? And I put in there what the Liberty Bell says. Maybe they'll remember Cindy touching it and feeling it and then it being read aloud to her. Some of the kids are reading ebooks, but a lot are still reading the actual books. The children that I meet when I'm at schools, that's how I felt before the pandemic, getting out and and doing presentations and talking about my books, I still am selling. It's a good thing about these books. Books don't go out of style like a lot of things. I don't know if that answers your question, but I think books will be around for a while, I hope.
I think that you've done a good job with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Cheryl, thank you so much for tonight. And I'm going to hand it over to Alice, and then Marlene will give us the final word.
All right. Thank you, Annie. And this is Alice Massa, president of Behind Our Eyes. And good evening to all of you. And thank you all so much for joining us for this 8th Beaux book launch of Behind Our Eyes on behalf of our 107 members of Behind Our Eyes Writers Group. I certainly thank you all, and I give special thanks to our spotlighted author, Cheryl McNeil Fisher, and also to her BBL coach and interviewer, Marlene Massat. I also want to thank Annie, the chair of our Beaux Book Launch Committee, and our Zoom host for this evening, with great assistance this evening from Abby Johnson Taylor for the first time as a Zoom host for us. So thanks to all of you and to the Beaux Book Launch Committee for bringing these special Beaux Book Launches to Behind Our Eyes since January of this year. And we are currently scheduled through January of 2023. We are delighted about the success of this endeavor. And before I go on to tell you just a little bit about membership in Behind Our Eyes, I do want to congratulate both Cheryl and Kathy King for the Vernon C. Henley Media Award. Such a wonderful accomplishment for both of you. Congratulations. And certainly, Cheryl, congratulations on all those wonderful books that you've shared with us this evening. If any of you joining us this evening are interested in membership in Behind Our Eyes, and if you are a person with a verifiable disability and you have a keen interest in writing, you need not be a published author, you can join Behind Our Eyes. And you can simply go to our website and read much more about our writers' organization. The website is simply behindoureyes.org. And at that website, you can also go to our biannual online literary publication, Magnets and Ladders. And you can read about our anthologies that have been a part of our group of writers as well. So lots there for you to explore, including a link that says Join Us. If you click on that link, you will go to a brief application form to fill out, and you will soon be contacted by Marlene Massat, who is our secretary, and you can quickly and easily become a member writer of Behind Our Eyes. Now, if you have any difficulty with that form, just send an email to membership@behindoureyes.org. Now, finally, I want to ask you all to join us again for our October Beaux book launch. And on October 6th, which is a Thursday, at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, our spotlighted author will be Peter Altschul, who you heard from just a few minutes ago. And he will be sharing with us his third book, Riding Elephants. And so I hope that all of you will join us on October 6th. Why don't you bring a friend or a family member with you also? We're delighted to share our books with you through the Beaux book launch each month. Now, with all of that being said, I just want to thank all of you very much again for being with us this evening, and I'm happy to turn the microphone back now to Marlene. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. Before we ask Cheryl for some final comments, does anyone have a question that they did not get to ask? Okay. Mm-hmm. No questions, I guess. Okay, Cheryl.
I want to say thanks. I want to say thank you to everyone that showed up and got and came. And I know there'll be plenty of people who will listen to the recording as well. I'm just so excited and honored to be doing this. This is my first time doing something like this virtually, and it's been exciting and to be continued, right? And I think for anyone else who's planning a book launch, to remember, it's not about numbers. It's about who is here, and we do the best we can no matter what. And I am grateful to even have that opportunity to read aloud, which is always nerve-wracking. I'm one of the in-betweeners where I don't have a hard time seeing print and I don't know Braille proficiently. So I'm just thank you. And I feel in a safe environment to do that. And all of you are just, I don't have the words for it. Just thank you so much. Thanks.
Point quickly, I forgot to mention that since our previous book launch in August, we now have all of our book launches from January through August on our website as well. So if there's any book launch that you missed that you would like to listen to, they're easily accessible from our website as well. That's something new, and I did want to share that with you also. So thank you again.
And the book launch mentions the author as well as the book that was featured on the book launch. So if you've missed the title, you can get it from our website as well. And I'd just like to say thank you everyone for joining us tonight. I think we had an amazing book launch, and Cheryl's books are as dynamic as she is. So I'm sure you'll all be looking forward to getting them and being inspired by a wonderful, amazing author. Thank you all very much. Annie?
Good night, everybody.